Now it's 2003. My first solo album. There would definitely not be a Beyoncé without Destiny's Child. I love my girls. And you would think after all of the success we had, I would have proven myself, right? Wrong. There were more challenges. I put my heart and my soul into writing my first album, Dangerously in Love. And after playing the songs for my record label, they told me I didn't have one hit on my album. Dangerously in Love, Me, Myself, and I, Baby Boy, Naughty Girl, and my favorite song, Crazy in Love. And they told me I didn't have one hit on my album. I guess they were kind of right. I had five.
Coming looking for crazy right now. Your love's coming looking for crazy right now. Coming looking for crazy right now. Your love's coming looking for crazy
What's up, people? We are back for another episode of Boys Love Beyonce. I am Bugaboo Hugh, aka... I said that yesterday.
Right. You fucked me up every time. Oh, God. And I am Bugaboo Charnel, aka... I'm immune, you can get no cold.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a line.
Hallelujah. It touches me every time
I hear it.
You
got the green light. Uh-huh. It's such a great album.
Green.
How's your week been?
My week has been trying. You know, I talked to the Potosphere about my troubles with my professor. I'm not getting back into it. Stay at home girl still giving me issues. About to have a heart attack behind it. But other than that, I got a lot of secrets floating around in my family that are just now coming to light. That are starting to bother me. Right. Usually, you know, when people talk to each other, they gossip about each other, so you get all the tea. I got a cousin on Grindr looking for sissy boys and shit all of a sudden,
that's nice.
Right. I said, wait a minute. Like, I'm screenshotting and sending things. Do you know anything about this? And then, like, I got aunts and uncles talking, so we need to talk. And I was like, oh, yeah, what's it about? He was like, oh, it needs to be a face-to-face conversation. I said, look, I can't deal with no stress. If it don't involve me, or if you're not dying, don't tell me nothing. Like, I don't, but I feel like it's some real, right. So I'm, like, stressed out with all these secrets and things like that. And I'm like, I don't know what these burdens about to be, but Lord, they're too heavy. So I'm about to lay them down at the cross because... But other than that, I'm all right. I'm alive. You know, any day above ground is a good day. What about you, Hugh?
You know, I'm getting over sickness and stuff. I think it was my sinuses or my allergies. Pretty sure it was my sinuses, actually. Started acting up. Sinuses and allergies. And then that, like, a cold came on top of that. So this whole week has been a mess. My car battery died and I'm poor. I got to renew my damn tags. So I got to replace the battery and renew my tags. I missed out on some hours of work this week, so my money's short. My money was already short because I'm recouping from when I left the bar. I only had one job. It's just been shit, but oddly enough, I am calm. I'm not stressing. I'm not worried, which is weird because had this been a couple months ago, I would have been a shit mess. But I've really done good. And then, like, the day my battery wouldn't start, I don't know why I thought I would be able to go to work, but I went hoping that I wouldn't get any orders, but I did get orders, so I'm walking around the damn Whole Foods. And I go to leave at 8 and my car won't start. And I'm already sick. I was like, fuck. So then I had to a car roadside assistance and had them to send out somebody to jump my car.
Lordy.
They tried to jump it. It wouldn't take the jump. Then I had to wait another hour for the tow truck to come, but he was busy. And then there was the fucking hockey game. They fucking showing it at the fucking arena in D.C. and it's traffic and blocks. I'm like, why are y'all out here? Why don't you watch it at home?
There's something special
about watch it. The shit at home. Why do you have to watch it on the Jumbotron at the arena? Ain't nobody in there playing. You can get drunk at home and have just as good of a time.
With a bigger screen. And
your bed, alcohol, marijuana, DC is legal. Come on now. But so it took a while for the tow truck to come. He finally came. He tried to jump it again. It didn't work. So then we had to go through traffic to get home. So I didn't get home until 12.
Lord.
And I was already, so I was like, you know, this is trash, but I'm happy and I'm proud of myself because I didn't want to drink. I was like, I don't need no drink. I'm cool. I'm calm. Like, I'm like, this is growth. And the stress of being broke is nothing compared to the stress of 72-hour work weeks.
So yeah, I can't talk about 72. I don't know anything about 72-hour work weeks.
You don't want to know.
The most I've ever had was like maybe a 57, 60-hour work week. But that's when they had your boy on salary. So they could run you ragged without paying me extra.
See, I used to hate that.
Right. Because I'd be like, oh, yeah, we'll pay you X amount of dollars a year, which means you'll have a set paycheck every 2 weeks. But those hours, my dude, like, oh, no. Like, let me just tell you. Like, those 40, 52. Stay late. You had a date? That's unfortunate. You shouldn't have made plans. Corporate America.
I'm sorry. Like, why would you do that? Capitalism, bitch.
It's like, I'm going home to my wife and kids. Your black ass is staying here.
You have to earn this level of you know, privilege.
It's a mess.
But fuck corporate America and fuck capitalism.
Amen.
But overall, I'm doing good. You know, I'm getting a good headspace, doing dope stuff, so I'm living, man.
Did you replace
and I got something else. But
Sorry, I was like, did you replace the battery, though?
I'm doing that Saturday morning. I get paid tomorrow. Yeah, so
Dope. I'm glad you're bouncing back. Yeah,
I'm sounding better. I'm feeling better. I got shit to do, man.
Amen. Like, I'm on a mission. Catch up. I can't be out here getting sick. No sinuses. Oh, my God.
But I'm also getting in the habit of just listening to my body and paying attention to what it's trying to tell me and resting when I need to. And it's really been a process, but I'm breaking out of that whole mindset of being too young to be tired.
Oh, no, fuck that.
Because that's what I've been told growing up. Oh, you're too young to be tired. You're too young to be tired. So they did, and I internalized that shit. And then I'm working 72-hour work weeks, and, you know, depression is setting back in, and I'm getting sick, and I'm just like, well, I'm too young to be tired. And that's not realistic, so I'm getting out of that habit and out of that mindset. And I've actually been checking my family when they tell me that, because that's unhealthy. And I don't want them to continue to do that to, like, my brother and my sister, because they're going to get tired, too. And I don't want them to feel like they're too young to be tired.
Right.
So I've really been clapping back at all them niggas for telling me I'm too young to be tired. You don't know what the fuck I do. And you don't do it for me.
It's so like
you
black have no folks always telling kids that they don't know what it's like. They don't know what real this is like, or what they're like. People act like there's ain't none. The good book tells us ain't a damn thing new under the sun, which means all the shit that you dealing with right now is probably things we'll deal with, and probably dealing with more, because y'all old asses left us with a shit ton of burdens to carry.
A shit ton of burdens, and we not gonna be getting no Social Security.
Right, come 2024, that shit's gone. We've been paying into something we ain't never gonna see.
No, Medicare, so just stop taking out my check now.
Right, but y'all laid up, cashing in on this shit again, getting your Social Security checks, telling us like, oh, youngin', you don't know what tired means, or you too young to have nerves. Now, I know y'all getting on them, so I must have some shits. Like, it's...
You don't push, pull, or lift none of the weight that I do, so who are you to tell me?
Amen.
What I can and can't be. If I'm tired, I'm tired. And I had to tell them too, that's disrespectful, and it discredits all that I do. When you tell me I'm too young to be tired, that discredits all the work that I put in at my full-time job, at my part-time job, for my shows, for my projects. Like, you're discrediting all of that by telling me I'm too young to be tired and I'm not having that shit no more from none of y'all. And if I gotta cuss y'all out, and y'all don't want to talk to me no more, that's fine.
Amen.
Because y'all wrong. And that's just what it is.
Just what it is.
Ain't no. So if y'all niggas out there tired, be tired. Y'all don't work. Y'all worked y'all asses off. Y'all got out that bed. Y'all went to work. If you in your 20s and you tired, if you in your teens and be tired, it's okay. Be tired and get your rest and don't let a motherfucker tell you anything differently.
Right. But also, like, even if you are tired, ain't no one else telling you too young to be tired. Learn to take a fucking break. Don't be like Charnel and and be up here running on.
Don't be like me.
Like, because you refuse to take it.
I'd be like, how am I doing this?
Right. Like, oh, I'm not actually doing it. I'm actually killing myself. Let me just chill out a little bit. Don't be afraid. If you done worked 70 hours in a week, or you got a million shows or pieces of art you done created on top of your full-time job, and you done seen and high-fived your little nieces and nephews, and you done cleaned your apartment, you done washed all your clothes and cleaned out your car, and it's Friday night and your friends are like, yo, we trying to go turn up, you trying to come? Don't feel bad if you have to say no because you trying to recharge, because them friends ain't going to be no good to you. You dead. Mm. If you lose your damn mind. Listen. So I'm saying...
And you cannot put liquor in something that don't got no energy. That's going to fuck you up even more.
Yep. You ain't going to be shit halfway through the night. And they're going to be mad that they invited your dumb ass out. And they're going to be dragging you to the car because you done puked and passed out in the bar.
That's a shit mess.
Tell you. Got to be careful.
But nah. You ready to jump into these Blue's Clues, though?
I'm so excited because we're switching it up this week. J Squad. We gotta find So, as we all know, On the Run 2 has jumped off. I don't know how we feel about spoilers for the tour, but you're here now, and I don't care. There is... Skip ahead a little bit. But we know that...
I actually reported a few tweets.
You did?
I did.
I love you, Huey. But we know that that it popped off in Cardiff. I guess technically yesterday, even though they're like 8 hours ahead of time. But in this... In these little video montages we got a lot of dope shit. We got, you know, we got some looks at a push party, at a vow renewal. We got to see the twins, you know, looking bothered and unbothered. But we also saw a clip of a certain Miss Blue Ivy. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see this video?
Most likely.
And it appears to be doing you see some dancers, and you see the mirror, like, you know, the dance studios.
I did not report that.
Of Miss Blue Ivy in front of the class, facing the mirror directly, fucking up the mind choreography. And it just validates all the jokes we've made the last like 3 months of this show, because Blue Ivy really is making sure these bitches are hitting their 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 counts. Literally. Like, this girl was on point with this choreo. She said, Frank Gatson, excuse me. I got this.
Ashley, baby, what are you doing? What are you doing?
When I tell you, I felt overwhelmed, this swelling of joy, getting to witness Miss Blue Ivy in her element, in her workspace, you know, being the boss bitch that she is, directing everyone. She said, no, what you're doing, you got to swing the arms to the left hard when you skip to the right. What are you doing?
Do I have to show you again? Do I have to... I don't like repeating myself, whether it's physically or verbally. I shouldn't have to show you again. Ashley, get him, Ashley, because I...
It's like, where's Kim?
Okay, one more time. Pay the music, please. Pay the music. And boom, cack, boom, cack, cack.
It was legitimately moving, though. Like, taking a step back as a stand and looking at my goddaughter, you know, out here doing what she does. I'm like, man, we done really raised a phenomenal woman here. You know, we really, what is she, six? Like, we, like, who else?
And she's tall as fuck.
She's got to be like 5'4". This girl's.
I was like, these legs, oh my gosh.
She about to be, you know what's about to be fucked up is that next tour, it's going to be Blue Ivy dance captain. Her, Ashley, and Kimmy. Blue Ivy going to come out in a beret. And we ain't going to know what to do with it. Like, she's like, I got it because you seem to be choreo. I can't, but that, I love it. I just had to, I had to acknowledge that. But also, the other thing I wanted to acknowledge, too, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter the other day. I was hoping you did, because if you didn't, you're missing a blessing. When they were talking about that Blue Ivy self-titled album debuted at number one on Billboard.
I did see that, and I didn't want to go through the comments. But I saw that.
You had to.
Because I was coming up with my own track list.
The replies were the best part of this. And I was like, if Blue ever dropped an album, these exact, the deluxe edition, though. Shut up, my money talking.
Man.
Fuck a surrogate, my mama just, really I, had me.
Billboard day one. Like, excuse me?
Who else?
Everything. Like, and I know that Child of Destiny intro is hitting on everything.
Oh, you know it. And what's fucked up is you know she recorded all. Like, all this shit is real. Like, we've already, like, the mind, like, the choreographer, we know she exists now. So we know the recording artist does as well.
She was, what, one day old?
Mm-hmm.
And bam, Billboard.
Number 72, right off the top. Who else?
I chart.
Not rock and roll.
I chart. Because I chart. I know you don't chart too much, but bitch, I chart. Na, 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 na. Like, she's... I am in love with Blue. I'm everything.
I love... I'm sure you've made all of these up in your mind already. You wrote them down.
Oh, I did.
You've recorded them on voice memo.
I sent her the demo tracks. Like, what about this? What about this? What about this? I know I don't sound good, but I'm trying to get it done. No, she has yet to respond to any of my emails. I'm considering, you know, sending her a few carrier pigeons and a FedEx package just to, you know, cover all bases. But I am here to write, produce, arrange vocals. I heard Northwest was trying to get on too, and she was like, girl, to do what?
Not after your mama showed her entire ass last week. Deuces.
Like, you want to come to my studio to what? Eat your nasty ass Tootsie Pops? Because, no.
Like, you want to take up space? Like, see, I girl, I love you. I got love for you. I don't have it on me right now, but I know I have it. What I need you to understand is that if I invite you in, it's taking up space for someone who's actually going to do something for me. So I need you to understand, like, I love you, but not now. Like, sure, one day, but I mean, not today.
You know, you can buy the album like everybody else.
No comps. No free tickets to the listening party.
No, we don't do that over here. And for the tour, you know, I'll give you the pre-sale code first.
You'll get a you get 2 minutes before everybody else. Good luck.
You will be the first one with that pre-sale code. I just hope your Wi-Fi is good because I'm selling out. Just to let you know.
I love it. Why is she?
And that's that.
Why is she perfect? Like, I can't, low key, I wish I was as talented and as genetically superior as Beyonce is as to create such a wonderful creature that is Blue Ivy, because it makes me want a kid. Like, I got six nieces and nephews, like, on some real shit. I got six nieces and nephews. I work with kids all the time, and none of them have ever made me want a baby until I started watching Blue Ivy just own her shit. And I'm like, man, I need to procreate. Like, I need to really get out here because
I need to create my legend.
Right. Progeny. Iconic progeny is what I need. And I gotta link up with someone who's just, I don't know what I'm gonna do. You think Solange would let me you know, court her? Do I need to? How do I get in?
You know, I'm pretty sure, you know, she's like happily married.
Happily married, but she's also a giver. She's I just feel like
she is.
I don't need her.
I feel like she'd be a surrogate.
Right. Like I just need an egg, sis. Several.
I'm about to hit up Angie, like, girl.
So what you got? You got the link up. You can't get some of yours. You know Beyonce's done frozen her eggs. You know they're somewhere right now, frosty as hell, because she knows at just some point Beyonce's gonna be 55. Like, you know, Blue, Sir, Rumi, they're grown. I want another baby.
I don't feel like giving them no more music. you know, I don't give them enough. Sean, you want another child?
Right, Michelle, carry this baby for me. Like, Farrah,
be blessed.
Farrah, your luggage came through. I need you to carry this one for me now. Carry this luggage. 9 months.
Oh, no.
Can't trust Farrah with shit. I wouldn't trust you with such precious cargo. Oh, no, thank you.
Mm-mm. I wouldn't let Farrah carry my damn umbrella, let alone my child.
She can barely carry a damn tune, so why would we trust her with a baby? I can't.
No.
Okay, Farrah. Mm-mm. But that's my Blues Clues. That's where we are.
And that was amazing. It was. I love Twitter so much.
Right.
And the album covers were like what did me. Like.
Why were they? Why do I see it though? Like, why? That's the problem. Why could I see
it
that?
It was so good.
Whoever, like, yo, stans have time and stans are talented as hell. And they commit. Yes. Beyonce stans fucking commit. And you can't say that about anybody. Do. Like, I love it. I really do.
I mean, I don't know any other body else that got a podcast. I don't know any other stand podcast that is.
I'm going to have to Google it. I'm going to Google, like, because I doubt they're using the word stan in Google searches describe podcasts. So I'm like, rabid fan podcasts. Don't make me Google it now.
No, we can do that later. Okay. I like having it in my mind that we're pioneers of this shit.
Right.
Although we probably aren't. I just like it, you know, thinking that we are.
True.
Don't kill the fantasy. But no, you want to jump into the Beyonce of the week?
Let's get into it.
Who's that? Who is it?
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 It's me.
Who is it?
All right, so I'm really excited. Because the Beyonce, it's actually more than one person. It's everybody over at FX working on Pose. Janet Mock, my fave. My new faves, India Moore, MJ Rodriguez, Ryan Jamal Swain. I guess I'll give Ryan Murphy his props too.
Nah, it's all right.
It was just everything. Like, I've watched it 3 times and I still cry.
3 times?
Yes.
So I've watched 20 minutes because I was like, I couldn't watch it when it dropped, but I did DVR it. And I was like, you know what? I had a fear. I said it on What About Your Friends. I was like, I have this fear that, because when I saw the trailer, I said, oh, this is about to be it. Black queer people about to jump up. Mm-hmm. Like, we about to stand out, like, even more so. And I watched that trailer. And when I saw Kate Mara's ass and Evan Peters' ass, I said, what you won't do is this. This can't happen. I don't know.
Okay, I was confused as to why Evan Peters was there too.
He's going to be the white man secretly seeing the black trans woman. Like, that's what it felt like.
And yeah, I was like, I mean, that actually is his storyline.
Right, I figured. And I was like, I didn't need that. I don't need her being emotionally traumatized and broken by some white man who's afraid to admit and or accept himself and her. Like, it's real life. It's true stories. Like, these things happen, but yeah. I'm like, I didn't need him, but like I said, I stand Evan Peters down. So I'm going to finish that. That's actually my plan, is to finish it tonight. But the girls are beautiful. The queers are beautiful. The boys are beautiful. The music.
Man. Like, and the way that first ball that they showed when they walked royalty, I was like, what is going on?
Category is...
Live.
Oh, work. God. I wish. Oh, I really wish.
It was so good.
that balls were a thing near me. Like, you got to go to the city for the real thing. But, like, if I could just step in, you know, just once, just to experience that energy, that freedom. Like, how powerful is that?
Yeah. And, like, I've been wanting to go to one for so long.
We should.
I just need to figure out where they are. Like, here. I'm pretty sure there's some in Baltimore somewhere.
I'm going to be down there in 2 weeks. Let's find one. I'm not even bullshitting. Let's do it. Google.
If I can find one. But no, I'm so excited. And then just to see all these trans women on my television, like black trans women playing black trans women.
Amen.
That alone just makes me want to cry, because I know how I feel just seeing my representation. So I can only imagine how these black trans women and black trans girls feel like just turning it on and seeing themselves and seeing our realities. It's like, yeah, I can only imagine how good that it feels.
Yeah.
And I want to shed tears of joy for them. Like, it's not even me. It's just, I'm happy for trans women and what this means for them.
Right, 'cause they deserve.
And I know it's man. And it's only a in the grand scheme of things, it's not huge, but it's huge. You know what I mean?
All right. No, it really is. Like if we think in overall, like where trans women are, specifically black trans women, we know they're out here being murdered at incredibly high rates. We know they're out here struggling to find work, struggling to find healthcare. Like, in the grand scheme of things, yeah, like, this is a drop in a bucket, but this is where it starts. This is where conversations start. This is where people get normalized and identities are validated. So, like, it's something impressive. Like I said, like you said, really wanting to weep and, like, cry tears of joy is for them, because it's true. Like, how hard was it for us to find ourselves? But we still could figure out ways to finagle, like, oh, that's definitely me. Like, oh, that was kind of me. Like, oh, well, that's great. Going to web series and seeing, like, having to find us. But, like, they're having black trans women show up. And not only that, but be, like, being perceived as having agency and autonomy and knowing who they are and owning who they are.
Yes.
And not being portrayed as, like, you know, either sickly or drug addicted, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, not, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just not being so, like, having it be both sides of an aisle, I think are important. And I think Pose, at least the 20 minutes that I saw, did a great job of showing them as strong and resilient. And I'm so excited for that.
And as humans, that, like, mm-hmm. it's, I can't wait for you to finish. Oh my God.
I'm gonna be death dropping in my bedroom and shit by the time I'm done. And, like, I'm gonna have to call you. I'm like, look,
no,
you have
see,
to get
I'm
up,
not. I'm not even going to try that, because I will die.
death for real.
Because I don't know what the hell. I'm just learning the difference between old way and new way. I was like, I don't know which is which. But now, like, I'm like, oh, I get it now. Mm. Ow. I still can't do it, but I get it. Hey. But no, it's just dope. And then give it a sound, Huey. I can't, like, I don't. It's so good. It's just so good. The storylines and the characters, and you could tell that the consulting was done, like, accurate. Like, it's, everybody just watch it. Yeah, just watch it. Just get into it. But shout outs to them, especially Jan and Mark, who I freaking adore and look up to, and
I do too. I mean, I gave her some shit for the whole Lena Dunham friendship thing, but she's a phenomenal woman as well. Like, that's undeniable.
Both of her books just were great, and all of her work is great, and just thank you everybody involved in Pose. And, you know, I am, you know, getting my acting thing going. So, you know, Jan and Mark, if you are listening to this and you need, you know, some people for season 2, hit a brother up. You know?
I'll be an extra. I'll stroll down the street.
9 times out of 10, I will be available. And if I'm not, I will make myself available for you and for Pose.
That's right.
And that's been the Beyonce of the week.
Because you are Beyonce.
Thank and you.
Okay, but now for the bulk and the main topic for this show.
The meat.
It's funny because this is what, episode 13? Mm-hmm. And we're just getting into the solo stuff. Into the stuff that made Beyonce Beyonce.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and go back to 2003 and the epic album that we all know as Dangerously in Love.
Hallelujah.
The name of my album is Dangerously in Love. And actually, I wrote the song about, what was it, 3 years ago? I always like that title because sometimes when you fall in love, it's a little dangerous. Because I'm a young lady basically evolving into a young woman now, I thought that was a great title because it's so many steps in relationships and love, and that's what the album is about.
Do you remember, like, the first time you heard something from it, or like your first time experiencing this album?
The album as a whole, or like the obvious?
Just in general. Not like outside of the singles.
Okay, so I remember this because this is, I talk about it all the time in referencing how old my black ass is, and you're not far behind me, but it's whatever. I had this album on my iPod Shuffle, and the first time I heard, like, I bought it physically, like on a disc. I remember that. But I used to, but it's also the term, you know, the new turn of the century or whatever, and iTunes was really starting to boom in 2003. I think that's when the iTunes store really kicked off too. It was like, I think it was 03.
So I still had dial up.
But I think the iTunes store, like, online kicked off in 03 or 04, but like you could still import music. So I'd never listened to beyond, like, the Dangerously in Love album in full on a CD player. I uploaded it to my old ass HP computer, and then I put it in my iTunes, put it on my Shuffle. And it played in there with a whole bunch of other shit from like Monica and all that stuff. But I remember the first song that came on while it was shuffling was Hip Hop Star.
Hey, funny story. That's the first song I remember hearing from that album outside of like a single.
Right. So I was like, what are you infatuated with me? I was like, yes. I was like, I don't know what Beyonce is doing right now, but I'm here for it. And I think it was like that moment, like riding the bus in the summertime to this college prep program I used to go to when I was young. And I was like, oh, this is it. Like, and that's like, I just kept pressing. Okay, next one. And I think it was like Hip Hop Star. And then it was like, That's How You Like It. And I said, oh, well, fuck me up. I was like, okay, I'm in here. I don't need a crazy in love right now or a baby. This is perfect. And I think that was my first real, like, dramatic looking out the window of a bus, like I'm in a music video experience with Dangerously in Love. Dramatic.
Very. But hey, it'd be like that sometimes.
Right.
But mine was I was with one of my friends, and I was with him on vacation. Like, we went to the beach or something, and I went with his family, and they were playing it in the car, and the first song I remember hearing, like, album cut wise was Hip Hop Star. And I'm like, I like the way this rides. And bamboos on pastel, I'm a rock star. I'm like, hey, this is nice. And then Big Boy and Sleepy Brown.
Right.
I was like, oh, I can get into this Beyonce by herself stuff. And I bought the album shortly after. And I was confused about Dangerously in Love being on there. And that being the title. I'm like, but okay, but it still knocked, and I was like, this. And that was back before I realized I was a stan. But I it's so fun just looking back how much I was just going off for Beyonce, but I didn't realize it. But it was great. So, jump to the singles, okay? What was your favorite single from the album?
That's not fair because, you know, everybody, like, this is going to sound like blasphemy too. Like, I have not moved past Crazy in Love, but it is by far not my favorite Beyonce single since, I mean, it's been 15 years. But Naughty Girl was was my favorite Beyonce song of all time until I heard Drunk in Love. So Naughty Girl was really that, like, that Donna Summer sample, and like everything about it, like the vocals on it, like the vibe of it, like, it doesn't matter if you saw the video or not, but when you hear Naughty Girl, you imagine like smoky, sexy, like swirly hip movement, mm-hmm. and like everything that she does, you're like, I want to backbend, and like, I love to love you, baby. Like, you just feel like, whew, like you want to do naughty things. Like you want to be that person too.
You do.
I love that song. I remember so much.
One time I was in the gym and I have like I made a Beyonce Janet playlist.
That's a trap.
Listen, but I goes off that playlist and my Inner White Girl playlist. Best workouts ever.
Can you send me that Inner White Girl playlist? I need to see what's on this.
I sure. It's, I mean, this is Britney, Christina, Pink, Ashley Simpson. It's about 40 something songs. But Naughty Girl came on and I'm sitting on the bench. It's like break time and I'll just know like my hips will start moving. I'm like, oh shit, I'm grinding on the bench in this gym. People gonna look at me. But no, Naughty Girl was dope. My favorite single though is probably Me, Myself, and I.
That's a good one too though.
It's probably Me, Myself, and I. Just other ladies, if you feel me, help me sing that.
That like four layered. What a girl.
Listen, what a talent, what a genius. Just what an icon. But no, what was your favorite album cut?
Oh, this is Where You Been, Baby.
Okay.
If Speechless is not what gets you, I mean, obviously I love That's How You Like It. I talk about it when we talked about like our favorite Beyonce songs, just like That's How You Like It came up. But Speechless, like, and it didn't hit me right away either. I have to be fair about this. So this song really didn't hit me until I heard her and saw her perform it live on the Beyonce
experience. At Wembley?
No, I was thinking, leave that alone. Stop this. You keep...
Next week.
When you... Don't do this to me. But when you said you were watching that shit, you're like, I'm fucking up. I'm watching Wembley. I said, oh, you must be in a dark place. Like, this is... You must have had a shit week. What's going on? You need to get out of that zone. But watching her perform at the Beyonce experience on the DVD and her sitting on those lips, like, I was like, and the way she's like, those lyrics and those vocals live, I said, I have to go back and really pay attention to Speechless, like the on the album studio version. And ever since then, like, it's been my favorite go-to. And if that song doesn't make you want to caress, like, your little titty nipples and slap your ass cheeks, I don't know what does. That song really makes you, like, feel. Like, it makes me want to be in a relationship, and then I come to my senses real quick, but it gets me.
Oh, no, that song made me fast.
It made you a hoe?
It did. It made me fast. I wasn't fucking, but in my mind, I was. I was like, I know exactly what... I'm going to have all them speechless, yeah.
Come on.
But my favorite album track is probably Be With You.
Okay, my sister feels
because
the same.
Strawberry Letter 23 is one of my favorite songs ever. Mm-hmm. And another side note, the samples on this album were so amazing. You already talked about Donna Summer and Naughty Girl. Mm-hmm. Then we had Bootsy Collins on I'd Rather Be With You and Strawberry Letter 23 from Brothers Johnson and Ain't Nothing I Can Do by Tyrone Davis.
Yes.
All in Be With You. What? That was a lot for me. And me liking like old music, like that's why Be With You is one of my favorite. It's three old ass songs wrapped into one beautiful gift as only Beyonce can do it. Like,
oh my.
Man. And then there's a Hot Stepper.
Shit.
From Baby Boy. What was on Gift from Virgo? What song was it?
Oh, I can tell you that.
I know it. Sugar Otis, Rainy Days. Bam. Jeez. And what else? What else did they sample? Crazy in Love. What was that one?
No, I see.
Shy Lights. Tell Me So. Are You My Woman? Bam.
Damn, why are you so quick at this?
Because the thing is, like, when I realize, like, songs are being sampled, I go back and always fall in love with the original, especially when Beyonce does it.
True.
So, if I didn't know it already, I knew it now. But Be With You is just, it's one of my favorites. And the way that shit just rides, and the ad-libs, everything is just perfect. But Gift from Virgo is a very close second, and I feel like that's a highly underrated Beyonce gem.
Hmm. I could see how you feel that way.
But you don't agree?
Not that I don't agree. I mean, it's one of those things, like, if it comes on while I'm, like, cleaning, I'll let it ride. Like, I'll let it go. But if I'm in the car, it's got to bounce. Like, it's one of those, like, it's definitely a vibe song. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You got to be either with it, like you are already, or distracted for me. Like, it's just one of those, like, same. I mean, I'm not going to disrespect it and say it's daddy, but it, because daddy is, daddy should have burned. It should have been a 14 track album. Daddy should have been left off.
Okay, the thing about Daddy is that's probably between Daddy, Speechless, and Dangerously in Love, those are probably my three vocal favorites on the album, because she sings her ass off in Daddy. She goes the fuck off. Lyrically, I hate it.
No, it's so stupid. I want every man to, like, no.
And then you be careful what you ask.
And then we
for.
Find out that nigga is just like your damn daddy. Like,
be careful what you
ask. You spoke that into existence 15 years ago.
Don't hurt yourself.
and that was that song's actually about hindsight. Like,
but no, like Daddy, I don't know, that song always is weird to me, but vocally, she screamed, like she went off. You could feel the emotion. But yeah, Gift from Virgo is just, that's a song that makes me want a relationship every time.
You know, a song makes me want to, like, be in a relationship for years. And it's one we're probably going to talk about before we end this, wrap this. But, like, The Closer I Get to You, the cover with Luther Vandross.
Okay, number one. Well, that was Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway, yeah. Right?
So you got that right away. You were like, yeah, I know who that is.
It's duh. But no, I'm pretty sure Luther wanted Beyonce on that track with him. I feel like that was his move.
Probably. He was like, I need,
if I'm not mistaken. But that song, and then, like, the way that they ended, number one, they sound beautiful together.
Right.
And who else do you know has a duet with the legend on their debut album?
I couldn't tell you, because I don't think there is one.
Only legends. But no, that was a beautiful, and then the things that they added to the song, like the elements that they added, made it so much better, to the point, that's one of the few songs where I like the cover better than the original.
Oh yeah, same.
And that's not a slight towards Donny Hathaway and Roberta Flack, because, again, legends.
Iconic,
but
yeah.
Come a little closer to me, you're it, cause I wanna tell you something. Like, what?
I wanna so come closer now. Come a little closer. They were so,
it's so beautiful.
Man. Every time, and my like 13-year-old ass was on the bus, like, hand, like, clutching my headphones, like, cord. Come closer now.
Like, you actually knew what they were talking about.
Not a damn clue. Like, at that point, I loved my Pokemon. Like, I think I had Pokemon Ruby or some shit. Every bitch in my Pokemon party was my baby. I loved them. That's it. I didn't know what they were singing about, but I knew I wanted to feel that thing.
Like, they did that. That was a moment. And I feel like that's another Beyonce moment that doesn't get the shine it deserves.
True.
Because they both sound, it was beautiful. It just was. Signs was another bomb ass track, because yes. Missy Elliott and Beyonce made hits. I don't care what anybody else says. Signs hit. Fighting Temptations hit. What was the one? There ain't nothing out there. Missy Elliott exclusive. Hits. Crazy Feelings hit. The Bootylicious remix hit.
That fucking Bootylicious remix gets me hype. It should the way it does.
Like, I need more Missy and Beyonce. Like, this new era, I need them to do something. Like, please, just for me. And I also want to point out that part that she, when it's going backwards in science, mm-hmm. she's saying got game like an Aquarius. I just wanted to point that out because I'm an Aquarius.
Okay, kiss my ass. I don't care. We anything to stroke your pay, like pat your pastry, right?
Like, I mean, I don't need a reason.
Okay.
My pastry is pat by default.
That pastry is puff. Category is puff pastry, bitch.
Puff pastry realness. But it was such a great album. Yes.
I said, come on, consent. Yes to your number and yes to you dating yes. me. Yes, we could be yes. together, but you gotta wait for me. The first time,
I said no.
It's like I never said yes.
It's like I never say yes before.
I was a man. I love that.
The invention of consent.
Like, it really, I really do like these, like, people sleep on, really do sleep on this first album. Like, crazy.
They do. And it was such a good R&B album, too. And I liked it because, like, Kelly was going, like, more popish. Mm-hmm. And Michelle went gospel. So, like, they weren't genre competing. And then what Michelle dropped first, and then Kelly... Yeah, Michelle's album dropped first, and then Simply Deep came out. And then Dangerously in Love came out last. So I like how they did that too, where they weren't completing genre wise or like album release wise,
right?
And it showed like the respect that they had for each other, in my opinion,
sistering.
Listen, and I just know all the music execs that told Beyonce that she didn't have a hit on this album ate fucking crow.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? The I Am Yours. It's like I had one hit in my album. I had five.
I already decided that's going to be the intro for the show, for this episode.
Yes.
Duh.
I love it. Can we talk about how they gave us that damn instrumental from I Am Yours?
You know, I paid it.
I didn't.
I did. It was just like, it's certain levels of her pay that I'm immune to. And that was one of them. It's like, I'm unbothered by this. I probably will end up listening to it. And because when you watch the shows and you listen to the live albums and you know all the words and ad libs and everything,
you can do it yourself.
You really can. So,
drag artists out here are about to go crazy.
Listen.
That deja vu jazzy. Well, boy, should. I try to catch myself, but I'm out of it. Like, that's all I want.
Like,
this is
an icon. Any last final thoughts on the album, or
any last final thoughts? I'm just gathering myself. You know, overall, I really do think it was like a very cohesive, consistent, and like really, and I'm gonna say it, for like 2003, like audacious first effort for a female like solo artist. But yes. Beyonce has it. Like, we knew she had it. That's why she was going. That's why her solo shit was gonna. We knew it. We heard it with the horns and Crazy in Love. That Beyonce was gonna have it.
Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, she's here.
Yeah, I'm like,
you knew with the video.
You ready? Like, guess not. Cause I'm bald.
Was I supposed to be?
No one told me. May 14, 2003. Like, no one told me to be. Was I? And that's how we knew. That's when Beyonce let us know. Like, if you stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready.
Mm-hmm.
So when she comes and she asks again, are y'all ready? We're like, yeah, bitch, we paid and booked our shit in advance. We've been here. I done dressed for 6 different occasions. What you need, where you need me at? Got my ankles like, taped up.
Am I ready? So that's a loaded question. But my answer is going to be, I am as prepared as I could possibly be. Am I ready? I don't know, because it's you. But I took all the precautions I could think of.
Right.
But there is no being ready for you.
This is also true. We just have to take what she gives us.
I don't know what being ready for Beyonce looks like. I don't know that emotion. I don't know that feeling.
But that's also like why part of me, like, I watched a few of the videos from the tour, but I'm not watching anymore until August 5th. Mm. When I go and I sit down in Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts, to witness it myself, because like I want to be shocked and I want to be surprised.
Exactly.
So like
that's why I started reporting people. I was like, "Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you."
No, like I wanted to see what the stage looked like. Like, I don't know what the entrance looks like. I just know what the videos were. Like, that's all I care about. I want to be shocked, surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm deleting everything off my phone. So on August 5th, I have nothing but space. I need all, like, 60 gigs. Like, listen, give it to me. Like,
all the nudes gone.
Deleted. I don't need dicks no more. Beyonce's here.
Exactly.
I'm already filled.
That was just a placeholder. I'm good.
I'm all
sex.
Set.
Why? I'm good. I also want to note the evolution of Baby Boy as a performance.
Yes.
It has come a long way.
Amen.
And I really do want to get into Wembley next week. So,
do you really want to do this?
I do. We have to.
So, if we do this, when we do this, can we ignore Wembley for the rest of the time we do this podcast? No mention of it. No references. No.
I feel like we have to be well-rounded, and we have to.
That's what I'm saying. We can do it.
We have to admit her. You know, her mistakes. I feel like it's we wouldn't be doing our due diligence if we did not make the petty references to Wembley, that we do.
Right, you're right. I'm wrong. I still feel like,
you know, it happened. It's there. You know, Parkwood has not erased that from our memories. They have not put that in the Land of Fair's luggage. So we have to deal with
the Land of Fair. I hate you so fucking much. I don't think you realize how much I dislike you for that. But this is,
you know, that's well in the Land of Fair's luggage. We have the Put It in a Love Song video.
That's there.
We have that the video game that never came out.
Indeed.
That's there. I thought that disjoint album was there, but hey, you never know.
I kind of hope it stays wherever it is.
You know, this we need to go through. We're going to devote an episode to the Land of Fair's Luggage one day.
That could be shit. You know, let's do that after Wembley. That way we can bury it for good, like Disney put shit back in the vault. That's what we're gonna do.
The land, and you know, we can put Daddy in there too.
Oh, thank God!
We can put Daddy in the Land of Fair's Luggage.
We gotta bury that. Seal it in a tomb. Curse it.
But nah, that was Dangerously in Love, you guys. That was our review, our recap, our feeling. I'm pretty sure we're going to end up talking about it again because
probably
duh. But ready for the book of B?
Take us to church, boy. I can't wait for this.
Okay, so this week's book of B is coming from not the Land of Fair's Luggage, but I'm going to call it the Dead B Scrolls, the unreleased tracks. You know, I'm going to go to Forever to Bleed.
Oh, shit.
And I'm not speaking on it from a relationship aspect or an interpersonal thing. It's more of an intrapersonal thing as far as your dreams and your goals and desires. Because sometimes you have to get to a point where you're looking at what you want in life. And you have to tell it, I couldn't see, but now I know that I acted selfishly. Mm. I should have known that I let you down and caused you so much misery forever to bleed. Mm. Do not let your dreams bleed forever. Do not cause your dreams to bleed forever. You have to nourish them. You have to nurture them. Mm. Don't kill you and don't stand in the way of your own. Because most of the time it's us.
Yes.
Is you.
Really?
Dealing with your demons and your lack of discipline. That's what's keeping you from your dreams.
Hallelujah. You better say that.
Don't fuck it up for you. If you know you want something, make sure that you're taking care of your mind and your body to do that. Because I know the things that I want to do and where I want to go with as far as podcasting. And now I'm getting into acting and I have to be right. I can't be doing these shows drunk. I can't be drinking or smoking when I'm doing the show because it comes out horribly. Mm-hmm. Have I done that at times? Yes. And were the shows good? No.
Wait, this show?
Yeah, I have. back like, in the beginning.
Wait a minute. This is a revelation.
You know,
Wait, which one?
You know, I've you know, it's been a few episodes I've been a little lit.
I mean, we've all had a little bit of, like, there are times I had a piece of something before we started just to calm down from the madness of the day, but I wasn't gone.
You know? And I'd have been gone. I'm saying, but like, even still, just even a little tipsy, like a little glass of wine or two.
That'll do it.
Like that, it will. It has. But I mean, that and then just taking care of my body and watching what I eat and making sure I'm working out and resting.
Amen.
Circle back to the beginning of this episode. So that really hit me. I was listening to my unreleased Beyonce mixtape that I made.
She sent it to me too.
I will.
I need all these playlists. No, but that's a word that preaches for real though. Like, I think so often we don't realize that it is us, and what we do is we project those things onto other people and say, "Oh, well, it's Huey's fault." You know, if Huey wasn't always so needy or didn't need me all the time, then I would have time. It's like, no, if you prioritize a thing that you don't seem to have time for, then you would have time for it. Like,
that's what it is.
You prioritized Huey and not the thing you need or the thing you want to do. You prioritized your man. You prioritized your bad eating habits. You prioritized that drinking. You prioritized that side piece. Prioritized all that shit. You did not prioritize the thing that's really going to nurture you and make you grow. So, like, we really got to take ownership of that. So, I'm so glad. First of all, I'm convicted. I feel that in my spirit. My Shondo is quaking right now because you spoke directly to me, and that's how you know it's a word. So I want to thank you, Prophetess Huey, for coming through and delivering that powerful word for us today.
Yes. Prophetess Huey of the House Evangelista.
Yes.
Oh, shit, you don't get that. Never mind. Well, you'll understand.
Later. I know I'll get it. But I've seen it.
But yeah, that was just on my mind. And then, like with editing, like, there are so many resources online for me to look up and learn audio editing and video editing, because I'm trying to do some of that. Like, take out the time to teach yourself. If you can't afford real classes, there are resources. Take out the time to find them and learn how to make your craft better.
Amen.
There's always improvement. Make your craft better. Don't just say, okay, I'm happy with this. No, I want my shit to be crisp. I want my shit to sound like it was a loudspeakers production. I want my shit to be right. And that means I have to take the time out to find the resources and learn. And I can't prioritize the bullshit no more. Nope. This is crunch time. So I've told my dreams and my goals and aspirations that I let them down enough times, and I'm not doing it anymore.
I believe you and Thanos, same level right now.
See, I'm not trying to wipe out half the human population.
But you know, when he was telling Gamora, like, he's like, I let things stand in the way of my destiny. I won't do that again.
Oh, yeah.
That's where my brain went. I was like, oh, Gamora? If y'all ain't seen Infinity War, go see it.
You know, that was the only character that I did not feel bad for when she died, only because I still haven't forgiven Zoe Saldana for that Nina Simone movie.
That's true, but also, like, the Gamora, like, aspect of, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy and this, like, they've relegated her to a girlfriend and a daughter and gave her no real personality or story of her own, so that moved me none.
So. Now, the fact that he, like, the reason why she died was upsetting and it hurt, but the actual death of that character didn't.
But did we miss her? Mm-hmm. Like, at any point in the rest of the movie, were we like, oh, no, or did you forget that she actually died?
I mean, I've never seen a Guardians of the Galaxy movie a day in my life. Really? I didn't even know who they were until the movie. I knew nothing about no damn Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, what's this? Is this something new?
It was on Netflix.
I never watched it because I didn't care.
Well, one of these days, one of these days when I got a lot of free time and I'm coming down to DC, like, one of the things I'm going to force you to do is watch all the shit that I think you should watch. And the first Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, is a great movie. The second one, it can kick rocks because it's stupid and unnecessary. But the first one is actual gold. Like, it's funny. It's fresh. I love it. Chris Pratt is Chris Pratt. I love Chris Pratt so much. You know, all the way the story comes together, the music is phenomenal. Like, it's a great movie. The second one, again, could care less. But we'll make that happen. But thank you for...
I keep saying...
What?
I know. I keep saying I'm gonna watch all of them before the last Avengers or the next Avengers.
Got a year.
That's gonna be the last one, right?
Well, it's not. I don't know if it's gonna be the last Avengers movie, but I think it's the culmination of the last 20 films. Something's going to happen in Avengers 4 to like tie it up in a nice little bow.
Got you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I have time. That and Game of Thrones. I will catch up.
Wait, where are you in Game of Thrones?
Season 6, episode 1.
Oh, okay. So we'll talk about it once you finish that up.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, with that being said, the doors of the church are now open. If anybody would like to come to business, you know, go ahead and follow us on Twitter at boysloveb.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And then hit us on the Gmail at boyslovebeyonce@gmail.com. Where can they find you at?
You can find me in the timelines, three places, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, under one name. It's at Charnell B. You can hear me every other Monday on What Did You Do, my true crime show, and on What About Your Friends every Tuesday. What about you, Hugh?
And I'm on the Twitter at Baby Huey, of course. That's BaeByHuey for the new listeners. Mm. Old listeners, you should know how to spell me. You should be, you know, following me by now anyway, and the show.
Right.
And, you know, just keep it locked on my Twitter with all the updates and the things that I'm doing. I'm making some transitions probably with some of my projects. So I'm not going to keep shouting them out because I don't know what I'm doing yet. But things are happening, things are moving, and they're shaking. And I'm actually getting more active on Instagram. So you can follow me on there at baby_Huey2.0.
Love it.
So, yeah, that wraps up another episode of Boys Love Beyonce. Thank you guys for listening.
Indeed.
We appreciate it. your support and the plays and the word of mouth. And just keep spreading the love and commenting, rating. Come on with them 5 stars.
Yes.
Tell a friend. And just remember, all roads lead to Beyonce.
Until next week, y'all, you know, do says and do say.
Yeah.